This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Penguin Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. We got a daily gambit lined up for you. Not sure what we're betting on today, but usually Chris and Scraby get us going in the right direction there.
We are going to not be betting on the Hall of Fame game. NFL announced that the Hall of Fame game is set for August 1st.
Oh.
You know, we football fans have to bide our time until then. Do you want to hear who's playing in the Hall of Fame game this year?
No, because you know what? You crushed me a few weeks ago for the Hall of Fame game, saying it was the stupidest thing in the world.
Oh, it is the stupidest thing in the world.
But you're one bringing up who's playing in it.
That's because as soon as it airs on August the 1st from Canton, Ohio, I will direct you to put it on the television just so I can see the two teams in action for 5 or 10 minutes, and then I will no longer care.
Yeah, you will not be paying attention after the first five.
But I just want to see, football
so
being played. The game will be contested this year in the Hall of Fame game. The Chicago Bears taking on the Houston Texans.
Oh, man.
Got the last two big quarterbacks. You got
Caleb
and C.J. Stroud going head-to-head if they at all play in that game.
You know, we didn't get Tony's opinion on this, but C.J. Stroud put out his own list of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, and I thought it was funny because he did it on a podcast, and he had Jalen Hurts at number five, and then when he re-released it, he said he forgot about Josh Allen, so he booted Jalen Hurts, but he put himself at number three. Bottom
at
line,
least he didn't say he forgot about himself.
Yes, he put himself at
Jalen
number three.
He just kept himself third.
He went Mahomes, I can't remember who was number three. C.J. Stroud, Josh Allen, and not Jalen Hurts, someone else. But do you think Jalen Hurts is a top five quarterback, Tony? That was our question.
He had Lamar Jackson
in
there.
Jackson, yes, that's right. Yeah.
Lamar, Patrick,
himself,
Josh Allen himself.
Allen, and then someone that wasn't Jalen Hurts. He bumped Jalen Hurts out.
Didn't he put Aaron Rodgers in?
No.
I'll look while you guys are discussing. I put
Aaron Rodgers. So what do you ask me? Do I think that
Jalen Hurts is a top five quarterback in the NFL?
Also, do you think it's a good idea for a young quarterback to put out his list of the top five quarterbacks?
I don't mind him putting out that list. He was asked a question.
Okay.
So he didn't just come on, hey, guys, let me give you guys my top five here. He didn't do that. So I'm actually okay with him giving the top five.
All right.
I start that by saying this. Personal preference, if I was a top five anything – and I was asked to make a list, I wouldn't put myself in it.
Yeah.
I just think that, I obviously think very highly of myself, but I don't need to make a list to confirm.
Right. The fifth was, and this is why it was kind of weird, the fifth was Dak Prescott.
Yeah, no, that's out of pocket. Jalen Hurts.
That's out of pocket.
You know what? I shouldn't say that. I don't. Dak gets, he gets the short end of the stick a lot of times when we're talking about quarterbacks, because I think he plays for the Cowboys, but so it's automatically fun to poke fun at him when it doesn't go well. He hasn't played great the last two seasons. I would say he's not a top five quarterback right now. I would put Jalen Hurts ahead of Dak Prescott. I don't know if even Jalen Hurts is top five right now, but since he's in the mention of this list, I'll put him there over Dak. But, yeah, I don't mind. I think that's kind of this generation's thing. I think my generation, maybe Chris, definitely Chris's generation, if they were asked to make a top five list, they would consider that list without themselves. But I think CJ's not alone in this. I think we see that often.
Unless
now.
You're making a list of sports talk show hosts, then I go right to the top.
You go to the top.
You're actually honorable mention on my list.
I would never.
Wowzer. That's a shot fired right there.
It is.
Like,
this is a
crime on your own teammate.
I want it on the record for all of those who think that we're mean to Scraby. These are the kinds of reasons why we're not.
You didn't even say like bottom of the five list. You put him at honorable mention. Like,
I know. Didn't even go.
I will admit, hey, I was going for most hurt possible.
They say it be your own people sometimes. That's a shame.
That's a shame.
Okay.
Let's get to Daily Gabby. No,
okay, Daily Gabby. Yeah, just shut me up, please.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. We are going to review the bets that we did yesterday, and then we're going to go into some of the bets for the weekend.
Oh, let's please review those bets we made yesterday.
Chris is going to like... Well, we kind of bet alike, so I guess that helps me, too, if you do well. But we had Boston, 6.5... point favorites over the Dallas Mavericks last night. Both of us went with Boston thinking they're going to win game one at home, and they did convincingly. 107-89 for the Celtics.
1-0.
Yeah. Who scored more, Luka Doncic or Jason Tatum? We both said Luka, and Luka definitely scored more. He had 30. I think Tatum only had like 16, something like that.
Yeah, for all the people out there saying Jaylen Brown has become the number one option, I just want to point out the fact that they pretty much double-teamed Tatum all game long, so he should have been giving up the rock to the guy who was single-covered and had all the points.
Jason Tatum takes a lot of heat for being a guy that's supposedly does not score in crunch time.
Huh.
I don't have enough behind me to either
agree or disagree.
Yeah. But I'm going to keep an eye on it. Hopefully there is some crunch time in the series. There was none yesterday.
No. Randy Vasquez over under 4.5 strikeouts in last night's game. Both Chris and I went under, and we won this one, too. He had 3 strikeouts in the game.
3-0.
Slade Ciccone.
It looked like he had some Ciccone's on the mound, too, by the way. But I don't think he did. It just looked like Ciccone's.
Is Ciccone a shoe?
I hope so.
Okay. I got to go look it up because you're talking to the two least fashionable guys on the station, for
pretty
sure.
Much.
Slade Ciccone, five.
We're at least honorable mention.
Yeah.
At least that honorable category. Mention.
5 1/3 innings pitched. Would he go over under that? I went over, you went under, and he went 4 1/3. So, Chris, you won that one.
4-0.
Alcaraz, -2.5 games over Sinner. And I know they played a lot of games, and I'm pretty sure, did he? I didn't.
It was an unbelievable match. Alcaraz won it in the 5th set.
Yes.
But he did not beat the spread. Alcaraz won 23 games, Sinner won 22.
All right, and yes, there you go.
So that was another win for me, 5-0.
And then the games were then 45, right?
Yes, total was 39.5. I bet over. 6-0 for me.
6-0 for you. Wow, nice job.
Scraby, look.
Oh, he's showing me the Saucony shoes.
I call them Ciccone's.
Is that what the name is?
Oh, those are Ciccone's?
I don't know that he was wearing them, but I used to own quite a few pair. It was a good shoe.
You know what? I do remember that shoe brand, but that is not what came to my mind when you said Ciccone.
No, I thought Saucony was how you spelled that or how you pronounced that word.
Hey, to be fair, it could be Saucony, but I always called them Ciccone. So
I think they're Ciccone's, but, you know, Scraby does fashion himself as an excellent name pronouncer.
I did. Normally. Oh, did you tell Tony? So Chris was perturbed that. I was saying Swiatek was how you pronounce her last name.
Yes, we did. We did go.
Oh,
over
and then
this.
He heard on the TV that the announcer was saying.
This is what happens when he's actually
mad at me.
This is what happens when he's right for a change. He repeats the story like 12 times.
He has to.
He's got nothing else to go to.
So it's Saucony. Saucony.
Is Saucony?
Or, yeah, Saucony. That's what it says. S-A-W-K-U-H-N-E-E. Wait.
Oh, that's the...
Phonetic.
Okay,
so it's not Saucony.
No. All right.
I'm going to go I've been calling it the wrong
name
for over 40 years now. So
interesting.
I'll change it up.
No, stay with Saucony.
Neither like that or the pitcher's going to have to change his name.
All right, Chris, what do we got?
All right, tonight we've got, we got the Padres. I mean, are they going to break this streak or not? The odds makers keep thinking they are. Padres are favored by 1.5 runs to beat the Diamondbacks tonight. Not only do they have to win, Tony, they got to win by 2. Is tonight the night for the Friars to turn it around?
Whose turn is it?
Yeah, I said Tony. Doesn't matter.
Okay, Tony.
Tony, feeling it?
Yes, they break it tonight.
Breaking it?
Boom.
Chris, I mean, really, the smart money says to take the Diamondbacks plus the 1.5, but... Whoever said I was smart. I'll take the Padres. Come on. They got to break it. Tony, or Scraby?
Yeah, I'm going to go Padres, too.
Padres. All right. Straight up, who pitches more innings tonight? Brandon Pfaadt or Michael King? Who lasts deeper into the game? They both have the same odds of 5 2/3 innings. So who's going to pitch more? I'll start. And Michael King's going to be on fire tonight. Pfaadt is a young guy that comes out of the game early. It is King to win this one. Scraby?
Yeah, I'm going to go with King as
You're
well.
Going with King.
He pitched, what, 7 innings against the Royals? That was a quietly great day for him.
Pfaadt's had a couple of really good games this year, but they've been few and far between. I'm going to say King. Tony?
King.
All right. Into the French Open. Tomorrow is the women's final. On one side will be Paolini. I don't even know her first name, but she's the 12th seed. It's her first ever appearance in a final. She's 28 years old. She's been around for a while, never had this kind of success. She's made a run to the finals to take on number one, Iga
Świątek.
Thank you.
Really good at saying that now.
Yes, you are. And the odds makers have Iga
Świątek
as a 6.5 game favorite.
Okay.
Which means if she were to win 6-3, 6-3, that would not be enough. She's going to have to win even more convincing than that to beat the spread. Scraby.
Świątek is on fire, so I'm going to go with Świątek.
You just want to say that as many times as you can.
That's not true.
Tony, who do you like here?
What's her first name again?
Iga.
Yeah.
Give me Iga.
Iga. He doesn't even want to go after
her. I'm not even going to butcher her last name like that.
There is no way this 28-year-old is going to be able to hang in there. I mean, Iga crushed Coco Gauff. So I will take Iga.
Świątek.
Thank you.
Pointing at me.
You are the guy.
Is it as much of a lock as it was that the Padres are going to sweep the Rockies?
There was a sweep in that series, I mind you.
Yes, there was.
The men's finals on Sunday. Carlos Alcaraz prevailed over Jakob Sinner today to reach the final. He'll be taking on Alexander Zverev. This is the 3 seed against the 4 seed, Alcaraz being the 3 seed. His total number of games won is 20.5. So it's a different bet than we normally make. Alcaraz... 20.5 games won.
Okay.
So if he were to win like 6-2, 6-2, 6-2, he would only win 18 games.
Gotcha.
That wouldn't be enough.
Am I up?
So it is Tony's turn.
So it's over-under.
The men's final on Sunday morning. Over-under.
Give me the 4 seed to cover.
The 4 seed to cover. I don't know what that was. That's not what we're betting.
No, I thought we were doing over-under.
Alcaraz is the 3 seed.
Yes.
And right. The whole bet is... solely on him. You're not even worried about the other guy.
Oh, okay.
This is whether or not Alcaraz himself will win 20.5 or
so
more
it's
games.
Over-under.
So if the match goes 4 or 5 sets, he's likely to do it. But if he were to...
I think he's going over then.
Going to go over. I'm going to go over because I think it's going to be a 4 or 5 set match. Vera's very good.
Over.
Scrape. We've all agreed on all 4 bets so far. which is bad news for somebody somewhere. All right, into the Stanley Cup Finals are upon us. Saturday
night.
They're
still playing? I'm joking.
They haven't even started.
I'm joking.
They're like the NBA. They think that a month and a half off is a good idea. Florida Panthers, game one at home, are a 1.5 goal favorite over the Edmonton Oilers. Scraby.
The Panthers.
You're taking Florida here, huh?
No.
You can.
I'm going Oilers.
You're going Oilers?
Yes.
Taking the points.
Yeah.
Tony?
This is the Oilers got my man. Is it McDavis?
McDavid. My man McDavis.
Yeah.
I love the my man thing, by the way. It has changed my life, Tony. Just being able to use the phrase my man.
My man.
Because I forget everybody's name. And now that
great.
I have that
it's
as my
great
go-to.
Great way to get it. Yep.
It works every time.
Yeah, give me the Oilers.
The Oilers.
All right, just to be different, I'll take Florida in game one. Although most hockey games have been decided by one goal. Finally, the NBA Finals game two will be Sunday night. Boston will be 7-point favorite over Dallas. I'm pretty sure Dallas comes back and either evens the series, but definitely plays much better. I'll take Dallas.
I concur.
Tony concurs. Scrabe?
I'm going to go against you guys.
Going to take Boston for another easy win?
Yep.
And finally, who will score more points in that game Sunday night, Jaylen Brown or Kyrie Irving?
Kyrie!
Kyrie was kind of quiet last night, I must say. He got booed loudly, though, I'll tell you. Those fans in Boston, they know how to boo.
Yes, they're
good at that.
Yes, they are. I mean, he got loud boos from the very beginning all the way through.
Real quick before we go to break.
Yes.
Pitchers Nation on Instagram put together it's not a side-by-side, it's a north-south video.
I retweeted this, yeah.
Of Adolis Chapman.
Araldis,
excuse me. I said Adolis. I'm getting Garcia in there.
It's okay.
Araldis Chapman in 2010 throwing 105.8 to me.
Oh, my God.
Having the fastest pitch in the league that year. 14 years later, he still has the fastest pitch this year, 104 miles per hour. That is
Wait,
depressing.
He himself has thrown the fastest pitch
yesterday.
This year?
Yesterday.
Yes, yesterday.
Wow.
That's depressing because, 14 years, there should be like a whole lot of velocity come down at that point.
Man.
This dude has lost a basically 2 miles per hour on his fastball.
Barely.
On his best one.
And he's still got the best one.
Jeez Louise.
Talk about a freak of nature. Tony Gwynn Jr., who got a line drive foul ball off that 105 mile power pitch.
I like
I don't know that it was a line drive.
It's one of my favorite achievements. I mean, it still, in my mind, beats out your homer the other day against Contreras. I must tell you.
If you go to my Twitter, at Matt Scraby, you'll go, just scroll down a little bit, you'll find this. But my favorite is when the first pitch comes in, Tony doesn't swing. He just kind of looks at it go by, and I can imagine Tony being like, oh, man.
It's the first time I've seen it. You had heard a lot about it at that point, but it was like, all right, here we go, lefty on lefty. Don't get hit in the face. That's all I was thinking about. Let me be able to move if this ball is coming at my face.
Did you actually see the ball, or did you just hear it?
The first one, I might have just heard it.
Yeah.
After that, I started to see it a little bit.
Man.
Ugh, that's crazy.
All right, Tony, real last one. Tony's going Kyrie. I'm going Jaylen Brown. Scraby, who are you going?
Kyrie.
All right, there's our picks. We'll see how it goes on Monday. I'll probably follow up a 6-0 with a 0-7.
Probably.
That's usually how it works.
That's exactly how it works. All right, Tony's got the broadcast tonight, but he'll be with us for the countdown, which is coming up at the bottom of this hour. Also, our Big Five a little later on. More Gwynn and Chris on the way after traffic, and I think Tony was supposed to take us out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural? or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Chris. Back at you. 325 is the time. Coming up, our weekly countdown segment. This week's topic, things that we miss in the world of sports. Things that we miss in the world of sports, stuff that we used to enjoy that no longer really happens in sports. We'll count it down in just a little bit. Chrisello, Matt Scraby together in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park. Stepped away for a moment. He'll be back with us shortly. Scraby, while we have just a minute here in this segment, can I petition and get a little help from the congregation out there?
Okay.
Can we just get rid of the stupid war statistic in baseball?
Oh, no. I heard
forever?
You on the round table yesterday.
Ugh!
Why? Why does it bother you?
Well, let me explain.
Okay.
Right now, the war leaders in the American League for outfielders, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Kyle Tucker. Probably the best three outfielders in the American League.
That makes sense.
Got no problem with any of those three. War works. Here are the leaders in the National League in the outfield. Number one, Jerks and Profar.
Yes.
Okay, I'm okay obviously with that. Number two, Helio Ramos. If anybody can tell me what team that guy plays for.
Oh, I know.
Who?
The Giants.
Very good. But my point is,
didn't he have a big hot streak there for like a week or something?
He's got five home runs. He's hitting .304. Nobody's going to confuse Helio Ramos.
I think it's with Helio.
Helio, okay. Nobody's going to confuse this guy with being an all-star, but he's the number two guy. Number three, Brandon Marsh of the Phillies. Brandon Marsh is pretty good. He's on the injured list right now. He's also a platoon player. He doesn't even start against left-handed pitching.
I did not know that.
Number four, Jacob Young. Again, I ask, anybody out there know who he is and what team he plays for?
I thought he was a Ranger, but you're doing NL, so.
He's a Washington National young outfielder who's hitting .277, yet he ranks fourth in National League war among outfielders. And then finally, fifth is Fernando. Believe it or not, most of us feel Fernando's not having a great year, although he's on a red-hot streak.
Yeah, he's heating up.
But my whole point of this is that if you're going to tell me that three of the best five outfielders in the National League are Helio Ramos, Brandon Marsh, and Jacob Young, with Jesse Winker and Blake Perkins not far behind in the war category, I'm going to tell you that the war category is just stupid.
Well, how are you viewing this war category? Wherever you found this, how is the person using it?
I don't know. It's a list. It's the statistics. It's the official statistics of Major League Baseball.
No, I get
it. I'm not getting this anywhere else.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because I do see arguments made like this player is better than this player because their war is better. I don't think that makes sense to me because war doesn't explain everything.
Come on.
I mean,
war
Fernando,
is so stupid.
Fernando's a better outfielder than those guys. We know that. He won a
platinum glove. Guys that are there above, I mean, Christian Yelich, Brian Reynolds. It's a down year for National League outfielders. I've heard a lot of people say that. But you cannot convince me that one of the top three outfielders in the National League is Helio Ramos. Nobody even knows who this guy is. Even in San Francisco, they don't know who he is.
Let me see real quick.
Please.
What? Because I think
war
the reason that his war is so high is because he's only played... Where is his stats? There it is. He's only played 26 games.
He's had enough to qualify because he's there.
And I'm telling you, he went on this crazy tear.
No, he couldn't have been on a tear. He has five home runs. The war statistic.
In 26 games.
Yeah. All right, so are you gonna join me in this quest to get rid of this dumb statistic, or are you gonna fight against me here to keep it?
I don't think it's going anywhere, so I don't want to waste my energy in getting rid of it.
It really needs to go somewhere. Because, I mean, a lot of people, they look at that. They think that's what judges who the best players are in baseball. Sorry, it doesn't do a very good job of it.
I can't do that. Can't.
I mean, basically, and again, Mike Trout is Mike Trout. He's really good. But because of the WAR statistic, he's basically regarded as the best player in the history of the sport. And that's just not, that's not accurate.
Helio Ramos has 170 OPS plus.
Oh, great. What's his BAPIP? Good?
It's not on this sheet. No, I'm telling you, this guy, like, I remember, unless I'm thinking of another guy.
We should dust off a spot next to Joe DiMaggio for this guy in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Helio Ramos. It's your guy.
Sometimes I can't stand you. He debuted on May 8th.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
WAR.
Oh, I'm being called a shill for WAR.
Wait a minute. WAR, what is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
There you go.
Someone put that on the chat.
Did they put that on the chat,
they
too?
They did. They did. Right, yeah, the WAR stat is kind of weird.
I don't like it. I never have. When we come back, our countdown. Now, you're going to like that. I do like that. It's next on Gwen and Chris. If you love Mediterranean food, like I do, like Scraby does, try Spiro's authentic Mediterranean, Coronado, La Jolla. Also, now at Petco Park. Going to the ballgame tonight, have a little Spiro's for dinner. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. Chris Ello? Yes, Tony. Mr. Gwynn? Mr. Scraby?
Did you just I threw that vomit in. On me?
I threw that in for you. You just said I was barely in the honorable mention list of top sports talk show hosts.
Yeah, that was
got to get you back for that
mean.
One. Big doings in sports this weekend. Never mind the NBA Finals continuing. Never mind the Stanley Cup playoffs opening. Never mind French Open. Stop the world. Dodgers-Yankees series begins tonight.
Oh, and you want to up the dramatic factor a little bit.
All right.
Juan Soto is missing the game tonight due to forearm
contusion.
No, not contusion. It's like
swelling.
Soreness.
I'm sorry.
Inflammation.
I wasn't going to watch anyway, but just get ready to be overwhelmed with Dodger-Yankee coverage.
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to care. Traffic.
Brooklyn and the Yankees, were they rivals?
Yeah. Oh, okay. My God. They played in the World Series almost every year back in the 50s and stuff. Yankees, Dodgers, that's where it all started.
All right.
All right. Let's check traffic, and then Tony's back. It's time for our countdown.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip, as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, every week we pick a topic. We count down our top five in that category. And, well, we've arrived at that time for this week. So let's get to it. I was sitting at the ball game last night with former Major League umpire Mike Winters. Of course, Tony knows him well. Everybody pretty much knows Mike well now. And he's been on the telecasts this year, Padre Baseball, and rule violations and questions. And he's a fun guy to talk baseball with. One thing he told me last night that I did not realize, guys, the very first game ever played at Petco Park between the Padres and Giants, Mike Winters had home plate in that game. So
that is pretty crazy. That's a good little feather in your cap,
a little nugget. But we're
technically the second game,
right? I know the Aztecs and the Houston Cougars was the first game. The Aztec baseball team.
Did you do that game?
Opened the yeah, I did. It was fun. The kid for the Aztecs, Shoemaker, pitched a shutout in the ball game. And I can't remember the kid who hit the first home run.
Shoemaker, I guess. It was Riley Embry, my former
Riley Embry, there you go. He hit the
first
home run.
Head coach at Del Norte High.
Is that? Oh, okay, Riley. Shout out.
Shout out.
On the first home run ever at Petco Park. Right down the right field line, if I recall, into the Petco porch, which I don't believe had been named yet.
No, it was just a weird angle at that time.
All right. But anyway, so Mike and I were going over some of the things we used to love about baseball that no longer exist, and it got me thinking about today's topic, which is top five things we miss in sports.
If I could turn back time.
so glad you went there.
I mean, it had to. Come
you
on.
Did. It was just a lob right there.
Top five things we miss from the world of sports that really no longer exist, that were always a part of the games and have changed because of rules or just time gone by or the coverage of sports. So that is today's category. Number five, I'm going to start with Matt Scraby today because this is his last day in studio before he undergoes his shoulder surgery. One last best wishes out there
for
you, Mr.
Scraby. Thank you. I think Chris is just trying to make me nervous. On the phone with his wife earlier, he was like saying that I was going to die on the table or something like that.
He was like, oh, she was getting really mad at me, too.
I don't want to make Scraby sad or, you know, scared, but, you know, I hope he has a good doctor.
I hope he has a good anesthesiologist.
Yes. And Lori was like, Chris, stop it.
Don't do that to him.
All right, my number five is something that I really enjoyed, the pitcher hitting in the National League.
Get out of here.
And I will tell you why. Because there is nothing better than seeing a pitcher get a big hit, a double, a triple, or when Daniel Camarena took Max Scherzer deep in that game for a grand slam. That was maybe the most exciting thing I've seen with a pitcher hitting in my entire life.
Go ahead, Tony.
I was going to say, except that the reason why it's exciting because it never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
99%
of the time, it's a waste of our time, or was a waste of our time, but you're right. Every once in a blue moon, like Bartolo Colon hitting a home run was another one.
But then the pitcher hitting, too, is also, as a fan, it could be great because, oh, here comes an easy out, or it could be excruciating because now the pitcher got a double and you thought he was an easy out.
All right. Well, I don't think you're going to go. They're going to go back.
I don't think so either.
And that one's a wrap.
All right. Tony Gwynn Jr., something you miss about sports.
Number five, being able to watch whoever playing safety absolutely annihilate somebody coming across the middle.
I did think of that. I did think of that.
I know that it's not healthy.
Can we also add in a defensive lineman blindsiding Joe Montana? There was nothing quite like that either.
Yeah,
back in the day.
I would couple that with the safety and on a pick, watching a defensive lineman just look to hammer anybody who's coming down the field that they're not paying attention. That's number five on my list.
The games are far too safe now.
Head on a swivel.
Yeah. It wasn't fun for the player that got hit, but it sure was fun to watch that stuff. Number five for me, I'm going to go with football, and I'm going to go with muddy fields.
Oh.
You know, they are so good now with the grass and the turf and the indoor stadiums and the cold weather cities. You don't get a good mud football game ever anymore. And I used to think it was a big part of football, you know, playing in the slop and the mud and the rain. And I'm sure nobody enjoyed playing in it, but it was always a lot of fun to watch. So I miss those.
Yeah. Our friend of the show, Greg Camarillo, actually returned a punt on Monday Night Football one time. And it was so rainy in Pittsburgh is where they were playing when he was with the Dolphins that the punt came down and just stuck.
I remember that game.
Into the ground. And he had to, like, pick it out of the ground to
get going. I remember that game. Yeah, it was a downpour for sure.
All right.
But even if there's a downpour now, the fields never get muddy. I mean, keep in mind, they used to have some football stadiums in the NFL that played on baseball fields.
That's right.
In the month of September.
Oh, true, true.
So there was already dirt on the field.
Yeah, that is true.
So don't get that anymore.
My number four is sports pre-internet, and it's specifically how a fan, if you were a fan of a team, because I do remember this, you had to like follow. You had to buy all the publications that had reports on these players. You couldn't just go online, watch 2 minutes of Gwynn and Chris, and then say, why do you guys never criticize the players? Even though you've only watched 2 minutes of the show. I miss the fan having to do a little bit of extra work to be a fan. Does that make sense?
That's too easy nowadays.
Yep. Yes, thank you. That's it.
All right. Tony.
I'm going to take this to baseball and doesn't necessarily have it. It doesn't have anything to do with being on the field. But I miss every day at about 10 o'clock turning on ESPN and getting Baseball Tonight highlights.
Nah. Yeah.
You know, now they might have Baseball Tonight like once a month now, and it's not nearly the same show. I mean, at that point, Baseball Tonight had four guys at the desk, bouncing different things off of each other that kind of broke down the game. You got to see each team with their highlights. You know, the teams that were, you know, bad, they got shorter highlights back in the show. But you got your feel of baseball right then and there every day. Now, I know they got the MLB Network now, so it kind of changed, kind of really kind of ruined baseball tonight at that point because there's no need for it. And all the
now the highlights are going
players.
All day long.
Right. But I miss that because that was really the only baseball you got unless you watched the game, right? You had to tune in, get your fill of baseball. I miss that. Number four on my list.
That's a good one.
All right, I'm going to take the same direction as Tony, but I'm going to go back a lot further. I'm going to go back to a show called This Week in Baseball with Mel Allen.
Good one.
Which was played back in the 70s and 80s, Scraby. I know we can turn back the clock, but let's be honest. This was before ESPN existed.
Yep.
So you didn't get to see any highlights all week. The only thing you got to see other than, you know, maybe your own team playing was Saturday afternoon for an hour. Mel Allen would narrate This Week in Baseball, and they would have the highlights of all of the games that week. And that's the only time you got to see, I don't know, Reggie Jackson hit a three-run homer for the Yankees or Johnny Bench throw out a base runner.
I think it kind of goes along with mine, where sports pre-internet, where you had to watch that show
bit.
To see that.
Yeah, This Week in Baseball was a must-see TV if you wanted to follow, you know, and see highlights of your favorite guys, because you didn't get to see it otherwise.
Good one, guys.
All right.
Number three.
To number three we go. Scraby.
This one has to specifically do with Chris, but I miss appointment games. I miss when everybody in the world was watching the game at the same exact time, because now I don't have to worry about, is Chris going to get mad at me if I say, look at that Aztecs touchdown, or give the score on the air when we're doing a show. And he didn't want to know the score, because Chris is king DVR with the sports. And so I just became a Chris bashing, didn't come into this meaning for it to be Chris bashing, but I miss appointment games.
Like Monday Night Football? Is that what you're referring to,
like,
back in the day? Or?
Like, no, like when the Aztecs play at 7:30 p.m., everybody has to watch TV at 7:30 p.m. There's no recording, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Appointment television.
Yes,
right.
Yes. Everybody is in front of the TV at the same time watching that game.
I got you. All right, number three, Tony Gwynn Jr. Things you miss about sports.
Things I miss about sports. I'm going to take it to the NBA.
Okay.
Ooh. I miss hand checking.
That is such a random thing to miss.
I know, it's random, but I just, you know.
How about just being able to guard anybody at all?
Right. I mean, you got to listen. The athletes in basketball have always been top tier, but it's virtually impossible to stop anybody now because you can't touch them. Like, you can't even breathe on them. If it's a foul, immediately. I miss that. Just that, to me, I mean, the guys who were getting buckets at that point, with somebody literally putting their hand on your hip and just kind of riding you wherever you went. Like, there's still guys getting by you at that point. You know, I'd miss the defense being able to have some weapon other than sliding their feet. it's as we see now, it's almost impossible to stop anybody.
Yeah, it is not easy in the NBA. You just have to hope they miss. Number three for me is going to be noticed this year in baseball. And I didn't hear where there was any, you know, limit on this. And Tony, you've seen every game, the Padres at least, and I haven't seen it. Does anybody throw a pitch out anymore in Major League Baseball to try and slow down the running game?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
A pitch out. I haven't seen a pitch out this
season. We had
one.
We've had a couple this year.
Have you?
Yes.
Wow, I missed
Here's
them.
Why you don't notice it.
Okay.
And Jesse has said this a couple different times on our broadcast.
Yeah.
The pitch out doesn't look the same way it used to. Remember, the catcher used to be in his crouch. He'd come out to the whatever side was open, whether it was left-handed, if it was left-handed
right,
hitter.
Go all the way into the batter's box.
So now the idea is they don't go to the outside. They just stand up. And so it can work as a pitch out slash you get a swing at somebody swinging at a pitch that it's a little bit closer to the zone. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that Jesse actually asked the staff about it, and that was what they told us. So you just don't recognize. Don't get me wrong. Pitch out don't happen very often at all.
Yeah.
But they definitely have happened a few times this year, and you may not have recognized it because of that.
I just assumed that analytics came in and said, hey, no more pitch outs. We can't be wasting pitches like that. Yeah.
So. I mean, there might have been no more pitch outs because nobody was running enough at that point. So they just kind of made it just win away.
There was a moment in the game last night, I thought, where Jake McCarthy came into pinch run for Arizona late in the ball game, and I just felt like he was going to run, and they threw over to first base to check him once or twice, and I'm like, he's going for sure now. And I thought this would be a perfect time for a pitch out. You know, because you know he's going to be stealing.
If I'm not mistaken, that might have been. I mean, I know the pitch was up,
right?
And it was a good pitch to throw on. I don't know if it was a pitch out or not, but it definitely was up.
So maybe they just look different now. They just look different now. Okay, good point.
Yeah. You know what pitch outs are good for, Chris? In MLB The Show, when you're playing online, you pitch out when you know someone's going to steal, and you catch them every single time.
Well, they used to work. Also, you could pitch out on a squeeze play, and there's no way the guy can bunt the ball.
Interesting. Didn't think about that.
Pitch number two.
All right, I'm going to go quick with this one. Tony kind of already mentioned it with the NFL, but when you could actually like hit the quarterback, and every time your team sacks the quarterback, you're worried about a penalty because there's too much weight being put on the quarterback or something like that. So it is ridiculous. But
well,
it's the
to
rule.
Be fair, these linemen were getting a little ridiculous. They were like splash diving on these on these quarterbacks when they tackled them. So it's they like kind of had to wrestling. Do something about it.
I get that part, but you know what I'm talking about with. Some of the rules where it's like they barely touch them and they go down. Anyway, so that's
fair enough. Tony.
Number two, and this was something that, you know, I learned to be good at playing, but I miss being able to break up a double play.
Oh,
I
yes.
Really do. I miss that.
Yeah, going in there and creating a little havoc at second base.
Yeah, you know, they know what's coming. You know what's coming. And most of the time, you know, the infielders were so good at that time in terms of their footwork. It was really hard to get somebody. It basically had to be like a slow roller that they just didn't have time to prep for you. But most of the time, man, I could be booking it down there. I could never get Jimmy. I could never get like certain guys because they were just so good at maneuvering.
Tony's
the
missing
base.
All the physical play in these games. Yeah, he's missing basketball.
I got my buddy Jerry Harris
hand check.
A couple times.
He's got he's missing football with the hard hits. Now he's missing breaking up double plays.
Scraby,
I think you should tweet out when we get done with this segment a video of Hal McCray on Willie Randolph.
Thanks for signing me up for this tweet.
Well, it'll take you a second to find it, and it's worth it. Because people need to see what Hal McCray once did to Willie Randolph trying to break up a double play in a Yankees-Kansas City playoff game.
There was slightly...
It almost caused a full-on riot.
Yeah. Yes, I will tweet this out. But there was something in the Softball World Series yesterday where there was a double play being turned, but the girl going into second didn't... She was stood up really tall until the last possible second, and then she just dropped like a sack of potatoes. And I think they called her out. I think
interference.
Yeah,
interference. Yeah, I can get that. All right, number two for me is just going to be anything that analytics have taken away from the game of baseball, such as the complete game, such as the shutout, the complete game shutout. I know it's not completely gone, but it pretty much is. Most sacrifice bunting has been taken out of the game. Although the Padres did it twice last night, and I was genuinely surprised and pleased to see some of that little ball
executed too,
and they executed it, and it nearly helped them steal that ball game. So I miss everything that analytics has taken away in all sports, frankly, but mostly baseball.
All right, I'm going to go quick because we're running out of time here. But my number one is real player feuds. Like, back in the day, I feel like players actually hated each other. Now everybody's kind of friends. You cross circles. You talk on the phone.
First thing Juan Soto did when he got to town was go over to the Padre dugout to say hi to everybody.
He also left a note for Fernando in right field.
Yeah.
So
everybody's cool.
Everybody's cool, which is fine. I don't mind. But I love it when two guys, when the pitcher
when felt
hates
like
the batter,
they didn't like
the, something like
that's
that.
That's good.
You know who does it better job than any than WNBA? They're on that right now.
Yeah, yes they are.
Yeah, they're on that friendly.
They do have real player feuds. You're right.
this is definitely number one for me. I miss watching a baseball game without that box.
Without the strike
box. Okay.
Oh, yes. Man.
Yes.
I've almost stopped noticing it now, which is hard to believe.
I like it. I liked it so much better because there were so fewer umpires that we have now. We got like a billion umpires now.
A billion umpires now.
We do.
Everybody thinks they know the game.
A billion umpires. So I miss not being able to watch the baseball game and just being able to be like, man, that pitch is way off. Like, and you just knew it. You didn't need the box there. You just knew it.
Yeah, I like it, Tony. Mine has to do with umpiring as well. My number one thing I miss about all sports is a great dust-up between a baseball manager and an umpire. It really doesn't exist that much anymore because everything's on replay review. I mean, I can tell you, Tony, had they changed that call in the Angel game the other night from safe to out the way they did in the ninth inning back in the day...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, every week we pick a topic. We count down our top five in that category. And, well, we've arrived at that time for this week. So let's get to it. I was sitting at the ball game last night with former Major League umpire Mike Winters. Of course, Tony knows him well. Everybody pretty much knows Mike well now. And he's been on the telecasts this year, Padre Baseball, and rule violations and questions. And he's a fun guy to talk baseball with. One thing he told me last night that I did not realize, guys, the very first game ever played at Petco Park between the Padres and Giants, Mike Winters had home plate in that game. So
that is pretty crazy. That's a good little feather in your cap.
A little nugget. But we
technically the second game.
Right, I know. The Aztecs and the Houston Cougars was the first game. The Aztec baseball team actually.
Did you do that game?
Opened the I did. It was fun. They the kid for the Aztecs, Shoemaker, pitched a shutout in the ball game. And I can't remember the kid who hit the first home run.
Shoemaker, I guess. It was Riley Embry, my brother.
Riley Embry, there you go. He hit the first home run.
Head coach at Del Norte High.
Is that? Oh, okay, Riley. Shout out.
Shout out.
On the first home run ever at Petco Park. Right down the right field line, if I recall, into the Petco porch, which I don't believe had been named yet.
No, it was just a weird angle at that time.
All right. But anyway, so Mike and I were going over some of the things we used to love about baseball that no longer exist, and it got me thinking about today's topic, which is top five things we miss in sports. So glad you went there.
I mean, it had to. Come on.
It was just a lob right there.
Top five things we miss from the world of sports that really no longer exist, that were always a part of the games and have changed because of rules or just time gone by or the coverage of sports. So that is today's category. Number five, I'm going to start with Matt Scraby today because this is his last day in studio before he undergoes his shoulder surgery. One last best wishes out there
for
you, Mr.
Scraby. Thank you. I think Chris is just trying to make me nervous. On the phone with his wife earlier, he was like saying that I was going to die on the table or something like that.
He's like, she was getting really mad at me, too.
I don't want to make Scraby sad or, you know, scared, but, you know, I hope he has a good doctor.
I hope he has a good anesthesiologist.
Yes. And Lori was like, Chris, stop it.
Don't do that to him.
All right, my number five is something that I really enjoyed the pitcher hitting in the National League.
Get out of here.
And I will tell you why. Because there is nothing better than seeing a pitcher get a big hit, a double, a triple, or when Daniel Camarena took Max Scherzer deep in that game for a grand slam. That was maybe the most exciting thing I've seen with a pitcher hitting in my entire life.
Go ahead, Tony.
I was going to say, except that the reason why it's exciting because it never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
99%
of the time, it's a waste of our time. Or it was a waste of our time, but right. You're right. Every once in a blue moon, like Bartolo Colon hitting a home run was another one.
But then the pitcher hitting, too, is also, as a fan, it could be great because, oh, here comes an easy out. Or it could be excruciating because now the pitcher got a double and you thought he was an easy out.
All right. Well, I don't think they're going to go back.
I don't think so either.
That's a wrap.
All right. Tony Gwynn Jr., something you miss about sports.
Number five, being able to watch whoever playing safety absolutely annihilate somebody
coming across the middle. I did think of that.
I know that it's not healthy.
Can we also add in a defensive lineman blindsiding Joe Montana? There was nothing quite like that either.
Yeah,
back in the day.
I would couple that with the safety and on a pick, watching a defensive lineman just look to hammer anybody who's coming down the field.
Yes.
That they're not paying attention. That's number five on my list.
The games are far too safe now.
Head on a swivel.
Yeah. It wasn't fun for the player that got hit, but it sure was fun to watch that stuff. Number five for me, I'm going to go with football, and I'm going to go with muddy fields.
Oh.
You know, they are so good now with the grass and the turf and the indoor stadiums and the cold weather cities. You don't get a good mud football game ever anymore. And I used to think it was a big part of football, you know, playing in the slop and the mud and the rain. And I'm sure nobody enjoyed playing in it, but it was always a lot of fun to watch. So I miss those.
Yeah. Our friend of the show, Greg Camarillo, actually returned a punt on Monday Night Football one time. And it was so rainy in Pittsburgh is where they were playing when he was with the Dolphins that the punt came down and just stuck.
I remember that game.
Into the ground. And he had to, like, pick it out of the ground to
get going.
I
remember that game. Yeah, it was a downpour for sure.
All right.
But even if there's a downpour now, the fields never get muddy. I mean, keep in mind, they used to have some football stadiums in the NFL that played on baseball fields.
That's right.
In the month of September.
No, true, true.
So there was already dirt on the field.
Yeah, that is true.
So don't get that anymore.
My number four is sports pre-internet, and it's specifically how a fan, if you were a fan of a team, because I do remember this, you had to like follow. You had to buy all the publications that had reports on these players. You couldn't just go online, watch 2 minutes of Gwynn and Chris, and then say, why do you guys ever criticize the players? Even though you've only watched 2 minutes of the show. I miss the fan having to do a little bit of extra work to be a fan. Does that make sense?
That's too easy nowadays. Yep.
Yes, thank you. That's it.
All right. Tony.
I'm going to take this to baseball. And doesn't necessarily have it. It doesn't have anything to do with being on the field. But I miss every day at about 10 o'clock turning on ESPN and getting Baseball Tonight highlights.
Nah, yeah.
You know, now, they might have Baseball Tonight like once a month now, and it's not nearly the same show. I mean, at that point, Baseball Tonight had four guys at the desk bouncing different things off of each other that kind of broke down the game. You got to see each team with their highlights. You know, the teams that were, you know, bad, they got shorter highlights back in the show. But you got your feel of baseball right then and there, every day. Now, I know they got the MLB Network now, so it kind of changed, really ruined Baseball Tonight at that point because there's no need for it.
Now the highlights are going all day long.
Right. But I miss that because that was really the only baseball you got unless you watched the game, right? You had to tune in, get your fill of baseball. I miss that. Number four on my list.
That's a good one.
All right, I'm going to take the same direction as Tony, but I'm going to go back a lot further. I'm going to go back to a show called This Week in Baseball, with Mel Allen.
Good one.
Which was played back in the 70s and 80s, Scraby. I know we can turn back the clock, but let's be honest. This was before ESPN existed.
Yep.
So you didn't get to see any highlights all week. The only thing you got to see, other than, you know, maybe your own team playing, was Saturday afternoon for an hour. Mel Allen would narrate This Week in Baseball, and they would have the highlights of all of the games that week. And that's the only time you got to see, I don't know, Reggie Jackson hit a three-run homer for the Yankees, or Johnny Bench throw out a base runner.
I think it kind of goes along with mine, where sports pre-internet, where you had to watch that show to see that.
Yeah, This Week in Baseball was a must-see TV if you wanted to follow, you know, and see highlights of your favorite guys, because you didn't get to see it otherwise.
Good one, guys.
All right. To number three we go. Scraby.
This one has to specifically do with Chris, but I miss appointment games. I miss when everybody in the world was watching the game at the same exact time, because now I don't have to worry about, is Chris going to get mad at me if I say, look at that Aztecs touchdown, or give the score on the air when we're doing a show. And he didn't want to know the score, because Chris is king DVR with the sports. And so I just became a Chris bashing, didn't come into this meaning for it to be Chris bashing, but I miss appointment games.
Like Monday Night Football? Is that what you're referring to, like, back in the day? Or?
Like, no, like when the Aztecs play at 7:30 p.m., everybody has to watch TV at 7:30 p.m. There's no recording, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Appointment television.
Yes,
right.
Yes. Everybody is in front of the TV at the same time watching that game.
I got you. All right, number three, Tony Gwynn Jr. Things you miss about sports.
Things I miss about sports. I'm going to take it to the NBA.
Okay. Ooh.
I miss hand checking.
That is such a random thing to miss.
I know, it's random, but I just, you know.
How about just being able to guard anybody at all?
Right. I mean, you got to listen. The athletes in basketball have always been top tier, but it's virtually impossible to stop anybody now, because you can't touch them. Like, you can't even breathe on them. If it's a foul, immediately. I miss that. Just that, to me, I mean, the guys who were getting buckets at that point, with somebody literally putting their hand on your hip and just kind of riding you wherever you went, like, there's still guys getting by you at that point. You know, I'd miss the defense being able to have some weapon other than sliding their feet. it's as we see now, it's almost impossible to stop anybody.
Yeah, it is not easy in the NBA. You just have to hope they miss. Number three for me is going to be noticed this year in baseball. And I didn't hear where there was any, you know, limit on this. And Tony, you've seen every game, the Padres at least, and I haven't seen it. Does anybody throw a pitch out anymore in Major League Baseball to try and slow down the running game?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
A pitch out. I haven't seen a pitch out this season.
We've had a couple this year.
Have you?
Yes.
Wow, I missed
them. Here's why you don't notice it.
Okay.
And Jesse has said this a couple different times on our broadcast.
Yeah.
The pitch out doesn't look the same way it used to. Remember, the catcher used to be in his crouch. He'd come out to the whatever side was open, whether it was left hand. If it was a left-handed
hitter.
Right,
go all the way into the batter's box.
So now the idea is they don't go to the outside. They just stand up. And so it can work as a pitch out slash you get a swing at somebody swinging at a pitch that's a little bit closer to the zone. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that Jesse actually asked the staff about it, and that was what they told us. So you just don't recognize. Don't get me wrong. Pitch out don't happen very often at all.
Yeah.
But they definitely have happened a few times this year, and you may not have recognized it because of that.
I just assumed that analytics came in and said, hey, no more pitch outs. We can't be wasting pitches like that. Yeah. So.
I mean, there might have been no more pitch outs because nobody was running enough at that point. So they just kind of made it just win away.
There was a moment in the game last night, I thought, where Jake McCarthy came into pinch run for Arizona late in the ball game, and I just felt like he was going to run, and they threw over to first base to check him once or twice, and I'm like, he's going for sure now. And I thought this would be a perfect time for a pitch out. You know, because you know he's going to be stealing.
If I'm not mistaken, that might have been, I mean, I know the pitch was up.
Right.
And it was a good pitch to throw in. I don't know if it was a pitch out or not, okay. But it definitely was up.
So maybe they just look different now. Maybe they just look different now. Okay, good point.
Yeah. I'm glad you know what pitch outs are good for, Chris? In MLB The Show, when you're playing online, you pitch out when you know someone's going to steal, and you catch them every single
time. Well, they used to work. Also, you could pitch out on a squeeze play, and there's no way the guy can bunt the ball.
Interesting. Didn't think about that.
Pitch number two.
All right, I'm going to go quick with this one. Tony kind of already mentioned it with the NFL, but when you could actually like hit the quarterback, and every time your team sacks the quarterback, you're worried about a penalty because there's too much weight being put on the quarterback or something like that. So it is ridiculous. But
to be fair, these linemen were getting a little ridiculous. They were like splash diving on these on these quarterbacks when they tackled them. So it's they kind of had to do something about it.
I get that part, but you know what I'm talking about with. Some of the rules where it's like they barely touch them and they go down. Anyway, so that's
fair enough. Tony.
Number two, and this was something that, you know, I learned to be good at playing, but I miss being able to break up a double play.
Oh,
I miss that.
Yeah, going in there and creating a little havoc at second base.
You know, they know what's coming. You know what's coming. And most of the time, you know, the infielders were so good at that time in terms of their footwork. It was really hard to get somebody. It basically had to be like a slow roller that they just didn't have time to prep for you. But most of the time, man, I could be booking it down there. I could never get Jimmy. I could never get like certain guys because they were just so good at maneuvering.
Tony's missing all the physical play in these games.
Man.
He's missing basketball.
I got my buddy Jerry Harris
hand check.
A couple times.
He's got he's missing football with the hard hits. Now he's missing breaking up double plays. Scraby, I think you should tweet out when we get done with this segment a video of Hal McCray on Willie Randolph.
Thanks for signing me up for this tweet.
Well, it'll take you a second to find it, and it's worth it because people need to see what Hal McCray once did to Willie Randolph trying to break up a double play in a Yankees Kansas City playoff game.
There was slightly
it almost caused a full on riot.
Yes, I will tweet this out. But there was something in the softball World Series yesterday where there was a double play being turned, but the girl going into second stood up really tall until the last possible second, and then she just dropped like a sack of potatoes. And I think they called her out. I think
interference.
Yeah,
interference.
Yeah,
crazy. I can get that. All right, number two for me is just going to be anything that analytics have taken away from the game of baseball, such as the complete game, such as the shutout, the complete game shutout. I know it's not completely gone, but it pretty much is. Most sacrifice bunting has been taken out of the game. Although the Padres did it twice last night, and I was genuinely surprised and pleased to see some of that little ball
executed too,
and they executed it, and it nearly helped them steal that ball game. So I miss everything that analytics has taken away in all sports, frankly, but mostly baseball.
All right, I'm going to go quick because we're running out of time here. But my number one is real player feuds. Like, back in the day, I feel like players actually hated each other. Now everybody's kind of friends. You cross circles. You talk on the phone.
First thing Juan Soto did when he got to town was go over to the Padre dugout to say hi to everybody.
He also left a note for Fernando in right field.
Yeah.
So everybody's cool.
Everybody's cool, which is fine. I don't mind. But I love it when the pitcher
when you felt
hates
like
the batter,
they didn't like
the, something like
that's
that.
That's good.
You know who does a better job than WNBA? They're on that right now.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Yeah, they're on that friendly.
They do have real player feuds. You're right.
This is definitely number one for me. I miss watching a baseball game without that box.
Without the call the strike
box. Okay.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
Yes.
I've almost stopped noticing it now, which is hard to believe.
I like it. I liked it so much better because there were so fewer umpires that we have now. We got like a billion umpires now.
A billion umpires now.
We do. We literally
have they know the game.
A billion umpires. So I miss not being able to watch the baseball game. And just being able to be like, man, that pitch is way off. Like, and you just knew it. You didn't need the box there. You just knew it.
Yeah, I like it, Tony. Mine has to do with umpiring as well. My number one thing I miss about all of sports is a great dust-up between a baseball manager and an umpire. It really doesn't exist that much anymore because everything's on replay review.
Yep.
And,
yep.
I mean, I can tell you, Tony, had they changed that call in the Angel game the other night from safe to out the way they did in the ninth inning, back in the day, Mike Schilt and that first base umpire would have had one of the classic arguments of all time.
You know what's cold about that? Had they not come back and said confirmed and they said something like upheld, I think Mike Schilt would have definitely have lost his mind.
I used to love when a baseball manager lost their mind, a la Scraby's favorite Earl Weaver.
Oh, yes, yes. I'll give Mike Schilt this. He does lose his mind.
Yes, no, they still argue, but you don't have the classics anymore.
The cold part is he might be the biggest character we have in managers now. Yeah. I can't think of one that...
David
we'll
Bell.
Set it off like
David
Mike
Bell
will.
Loses his mind.
Oh yeah, bit. David Bell. No, I take that.
He
back.
Got
David
kicked
Bell.
Out in like the middle of an inning. When
David
they were
Bell
in town.
Is a psychopath for real.
Okay.
All right, Chris versus the fans. 833-288-0973. Coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.